Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. We're continuing in our series in this short book of the New Testament, but a book that has so much power and blessing and help, I believe, for God's people, and especially in these days of confusion and chaos, to help us to understand how we can keep the peace in the local church and how we can keep the peace in our individual lives. This passage of Scripture has been of great help to me, and I hope that it will be of help to you as we continue in our study. And we're going to focus today on verses 8 and 9 of Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what are we to do? We're to think on these things. We're to meditate. We're to ponder. We're to make it the primary focus of our thinking. Verse 9, those things, which he's just talked about, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now notice what follows. What follows this now? And the God of peace shall be with you. Now we've seen this come up several times here in these first 9 verses about the peace of God. You see, God's peace is wonderful, but you gotta want it. And how do you show that you want God's peace in your life? You live in such a way that your thought life and your heart life shows a desire to have God's peace. Your thought life and your heart life. You have to go back to verse 7, remember? Talks about the mind and the heart. Having the peace of God means that you get your heart and your mind focused upon Him, approving those things which are excellent. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd open our hearts today. Lord, there's so much chaos and lack of peace in this world that most people think it's not possible, but it is for the Christian. But Lord, we've got to want that peace. We've got to desire it. We've got to seek to get our hearts and minds in tune with Thee so that we might know that peace that passeth all understanding. I pray that you do a work today as we seek to study these words, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We worked through verse 8 last time at the listing there of all those wonderful virtues that are given to us here in chapter 4. Those things which are true, those things which are honest, those things which are just or righteous, those things which are pure, lovely, good report. And then we have the two last words that we didn't get to last time because time ran out. And that are the words virtue and praise. Virtue and praise, number 7 and number 8 on this list. And remember, we have to keep this in context. Remember verse 2 about the challenge that was given to two women that were in the local church there at Philippi who were struggling to get along with each other. And this tension had grown where it was affecting the church. Paul said that these two ladies had been faithful servants that had served alongside of him while he ministered the gospel. So there's no question that these ladies were believers. They were believers in Jesus Christ. But something had gone haywire in their thought life and in their heart life. And we're going to be finishing up today with verse 9, the latter part of verse 8, and verse 9, and I'm hoping that we can keep that context in mind. Remember, he called the others, Clement, and some of the other fellow laborers to come alongside and help get this problem repaired so that there would be what in the church? Peace in the church. Peace in the church. We're not talking about the peace that the world talks about. The peace that the world talks about is always temporary. It never lasts. But the peace that passeth all understanding that was talked about by the Apostle Paul in the earlier verses and again in verse 9 is a peace that endures eternity. It's a glorious peace. It's a gift to those who want it. You know, birthdays are especially wonderful, are they not? Now, especially when you get over 50, they're not so wonderful anymore. I've discovered that. I got on my 50th birthday, somebody gave me a whole packet that says something about, this is what you get to look forward now. And the first thing on the list, colonoscopy. All right? Now that was my greeting to the 50s. All right? That will be my greeting in the 60s too. I've already gotten a note from my doctor, said, don't forget now you need to start planning your next colonoscopy. I can't wait! Okay? Maybe my mind is affected this morning. I don't know. But, you know, when you hit your 50s, pains start coming in places that you didn't have pain before. Okay? I used to jump off the back of my pickup truck. Boy, I never stepped down. Now I step down. I don't jump. There's just something about having my knees driven up to my shoulder blades that I just don't like. All right? So, you know, when you get older, birthdays are not as fun. You're not wearing the hats anymore. You don't have the kazoo. The kids are all blowing on them and stuff like that. But when you just want quiet. Can I just have quiet? Peace? All right? We change a little bit. But when the kids are little, boy, we love birthday parties. All right? And, you know, whenever all the gifts are on the table over there, and they say, all right, now it's time to open your gifts. They can't wait. Skip cake, skip ice cream. Let's go right to the gifts. All right? It's exciting to get gifts. But it would be a little odd if the child said, you know what, I really don't want any gifts. I want everybody to take their gifts home. How many of you have ever heard a child say that? What? Nobody? Nobody's ever heard that. We want the gifts, right? Even when we get older, we'll open the gifts. We got some gifts tonight we're going to be opening for the couples here. I hope they enjoy them. And, you know, gifts are wonderful. God has a gift, Christian. It's called peace. It's called peace, and it's got a descriptive phrase that goes with it. It's peace that passeth all understanding. You can't wrap your mind around it. It's so great, and it's so wonderful. But the thing is, just like you may have a gift that's sitting on the table, it's not yours till you open it and you take it to yourself and it becomes yours. And there are a lot of people in churches all across America and perhaps around the world today that aren't enjoying God's peace. And the reason that they don't is that they're not following verse 8. They're not approving things which are excellent. This word virtue, the seventh word in this list here, is the highest word in Koine Greek for moral excellence. It's the highest word. It's the most comprehensive term for moral excellence. It is that which motivates us to continue to do what is better. Okay? Not being satisfied with the mediocre. And you know what this world's all about? It's just getting by. What's the favorite word that you hear in the world? Whatever. Whatever. Oh, that's the word you want to hear from the doctor right before surgery. They put the mask on you and you're starting to get sleepy and says, all right, we got another appendectomy. Whatever. I'd be coming too. Hold it! I don't want a whatever, doctor. I want somebody that's going to get the right thing in there. Do you know where it is? I don't know where it is, but I'm hoping you do. I just read this past week about an individual who had a knee surgery. Now, they're usually very good about marking which knee is supposed to have it, but they operated on the wrong knee. They got into it and realized that we're not seeing what's on that thing there. And said, oh, no, we got the wrong knee. They marked the wrong knee. Can you say lawsuit? All right. You don't want a whatever moment. Now you got two knees you're worried about trying to get around with. Let me tell you something, Christian. God wants us to approve things that are morally excellent, and most of the things that we put our approval on in these days is anything but. I find people that post things on social media and I just cringe. It's not morally excellent. They'll post up something with foul words. That's not morally excellent. You're approving something that's not morally. It may have a good message, but it's got words in it that aren't good. Discard it. Find something that's wholesome and good. You see, that's morally excellent. That's virtue. Approving that which and striving to get better at it. Don't you like those kind of people that are always striving to do something better instead of striving to see how little they can do or get by? I have watched over the last 2 years as fast service has become slow service. All right? How many of you have noticed that? All right? McDonald's used to be lickety-split. That was the fastest fast lane for food in Milton. Now, you have to understand, this is Milton, all right? This is not like a thriving metropolis or whatever. But McDonald's, and the slowest one was Wendy's. If you were in a hurry, forget about Wendy's. You'll be there for an hour waiting for that thing to get around. Now, I'm not knocking anybody. If you work at Wendy's, I'm not knocking you. Okay? All right? If you work at McDonald's, I'm not knocking you. But I've noticed something. Whereas I used to speed through the fast lane and get my food, the truck was still moving. Now it's like sitting. And I'm staring at the palm tree that they planted out behind the McDonald's there, watching the little leaves wave in the wind, you know. And I'm watching birds fly by. And I'm saying, Lord, am I going to eat today? It's gotten slow. And it's generally that way. I've gone to some restaurants where they're not even allowing you to come inside because they don't have enough workers. You can only do the drive-through. Now, let me ask you something. Is America striving to be better in the job markets? I don't see that. I see people that have made a mediocre decision. Know where I'm going? Why should I work if the government will send me a check and I don't have to work? That's mediocrity. That's doing the least. That's doing the least. God doesn't want that in His army. He doesn't put up with that. He wants soldiers that are ready to go for Him. Amen? They're ready. They approve things that are excellent. They strive to do something better. There's no rusty bayonets in His army because somebody didn't do their job. There's no jammed cartridges because somebody hadn't been cleaning their gun. Diligence, moral excellence. Could it be that Euodia and Syntyche had approved things in their lives that were not of moral excellence, and that caused the tension between the two of them? I think probably so, because that's a problem in our time. It's a major problem. We approve things that are not morally excellent. We put our stamp of approval on it. God help us. We ought not to do that. There's another word, though, that follows. Virtue. And it's a very important word. Verse 8 ends with this. Notice, please. If there be any virtue, and if there be any, what's that next word? Praise. You talk about a word that's been diminished in meaning today. It's the word praise. Because we put everything underneath the category of praise. It's just stuffed full of all kinds of things, and we're calling it praise, and in reality, it's not praiseworthy. Do you see the difference? It's not praiseworthy, and that's what the meaning of the word is. It means worthy of approval, worthy of commendation. Now, right now, we're getting geared up for college football. I don't know about you, but I enjoy watching football. I enjoy watching sports and things of that nature. I enjoy watching high school soccer, and I enjoy watching Yak soccer games, and I walk around and take it all in. But I have learned over the years that some parents approve, put their commendation on skills that aren't very good. I've watched as kids fall down on the thing after they kicked the ball and so forth like that, and they're holding their leg, and dad's saying, get up, and mom is saying, oh, he's hurt, honey. Stop saying that. Don't tell him to get up. You know, and he's rolling around on the ground. He's not hurt. He's embarrassed because he fell down when he missed the ball, right? He's embarrassed. We can see it. Everybody in the whole place sees it except mom and dad. You tried really hard. What are we doing? We're teaching our kids that we approve things that are not worthy of approval. And you say, oh, that's a terrible example. Oh, I think it's a good one. We do this all the time. That's okay, honey. What do we just do? We put our stamp of approval. Oh, you made a zero? That's okay, honey. Yeah, we were out late last night. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Really? Really? Or we do our homework assignment and it looks like hieroglyphics. I get those every once in a while. I know Mrs. Smith has to grade tests from time to time, and she knows hieroglyphics, cuneiform. She's got them all down now. All right? She helps out with test grading and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you something. We put our stamp of approval on that and said, oh, that's good enough. Teacher can read that. She's got a bachelor's degree. And I've sat down and I've had to get other people involved. I've got a magnifying glass in my office that I keep for just, I'm trying to discern. What in the world is that answer? I want to give them credit if it's right. But if it's gibber, it looks like doctor's language. Doctor's signatures, you know that? I'm just praying, Lord, please. I've taken, this is back in the old days. Now everything's automatic. But back in the old days, they used to give you these little prescription sheets. How many of you were really concerned when you walked into a pharmacy with that sheet? You didn't know what you were coming out with. All right? My son works in the pharmaceutical industry, and he has to divine those. A lot of times I have to call. Okay? I can't read your writing here. And it looks like you put down a dangerous poison. And we don't want to send this out the door. I meant to write it this way. I'm glad it's electronic now because they type actual letters instead of gibberish, that's signed off on. And I think less people have died because we've gone to that too. All right, how many of you agree with me on that? Is it worthy of praise? Or are we just packing everything into the meaning of praise? No, it needs to be worthy. That's what that word is. Worthy of praise. It's worthy of commendation. Could it be that Euodia and Syntyche, I'm not picking on them, because I could easily put Todd in that list, were not approving things that were praised? I think this probably is the very last thing that's said. It's the very last thing that's said here before he gets to the God of peace. Very last thing said. Maybe we were approving things that were not praiseworthy. Maybe we approved some gossip that wasn't praiseworthy, and we spread it. Do you know in this day and age of social media, that's the great enemy of Christianity, is the gossip that gets spread so easily because we can type so fast, or we can thumb so fast, all right, for those that are really good with thumbs, all right? You fire off something. You see that? I'm not going to let them get away with that. And then you realize that autocorrect just changed several words that you just typed. And you just typed gibberish, and now they're offended. They didn't even take the time to check what they were sending to me. And now you got a heated debate going back and forth, and it didn't need to be. Anybody know what I'm talking about out there? Oh, I've seen this so many times. We get offended by a text. It sounds like this, or it sounds like that. Let me tell you something. Praiseworthy. Praiseworthy. Maybe Euodia and Syntyche were approving things that were not commendable. They were saying they were commendable, but they weren't. When you spread something that you don't know to be true, you're part of the problem. You are a peace crusher. You're stamping it into the ground. If you spread something, I heard somebody say this, and we post it out there. Do your homework, Christian. Don't approve something that you haven't done your homework over. Make sure that you dig into it. Make sure it's true. Make sure it's wholesome. Make sure it's right. If there be any praise, if it's praiseworthy, then we're to do what? Think on these things. You know what God has done in verse 8? He set the bar really high. He set the bar really high. And we have to strive to meet His standard so that we think on those things and we wonder why we don't have peace. Because we stopped trying years ago. Oh, that's not possible. I'll just pick and choose things from the Bible that I can do. I know I can do. Let me tell you something. You're forgetting the powerful element of the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. Or maybe the problem is you lack the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe you're not a believer after all. Maybe you've convinced yourself of that. But I want to take you to verse 9. Because it's one of the greatest education passages in the Bible. I want you to see this, please. Those things. He's listed a lot of things in the previous 8 verses, has he not? Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's the next word? Do. Put it into practice. And the God of peace. It didn't jump right to verse 9. And the God of peace shall be with you. Oh no, it comes after. It comes after some things. And you can't blur through these things. You got to let them soak into your heart and soak into your heart and mind here. Think on these things. Paul uses a grammatical construction here that pairs the first two words, learned and received, and the last two words, heard and seen, for emphasis. All right? Emphasis. Synonymia is the title of this particular pattern. Two words. And last two words paired together, all of them education words. It draws the reader into a frame of mind that this is of utmost importance. He's taken the time to do this to register in our minds that this is important. I better pay attention. There is a military perspective to this that we must not miss. As in one training to wield a sword offensively and defensively. Any lack of attention to details means injury or what else? Death. Now, I'm thankful that our soldiers today don't have to use swords anymore. I cannot imagine the hand-to-hand combat with a sword and the awful, terrible nature of that, the blood and all the stuff that's involved with that. But you got to learn how to do it if you're going to go out and fight the enemy. For years, they taught our men how to use bayonets on the end of a. They don't do that much anymore. I don't think they do it at all because of all of our offensive weapons are much more powerful and can be done shot at a distance and so forth like that compared to the inaccurate weapons of the past. But I want to tell you something. Whenever you're training, you pay attention. You pay attention. You don't dart away and let your mind go off into this, that, or the other. You pay attention because this is life and death. This is life and death. I could die. How many people have died in boot camps? Because they picked up their head when machine guns were being fired. They were told, keep your head down, move under the wire. Keep moving. And they're shooting real live ammunition. And somebody dipped up and were killed. It's happened many, many times throughout the years. I signed up many, many years ago to the Pensacola Historical Society. They have a Facebook posting just about every day, and they highlight somebody that passed away from Pensacola in World War I and World War II during that time period. And I read of one man that never made it out of boot camp because whenever he pulled the pin on the grenade, he accidentally had let his fingers loosen up on it, and he didn't realize that he had set off the internal timer, and he was blown to pieces. Never made it out of there. Just a simple thing. He was told, squeeze it! But he let his fingers get loose and the bomb went off and it killed him. And it severely injured 3 others that were near him. Now, I don't know the reasons why. He was highlighted years and years ago as a young man that went to fight for his country, but he never got the chance to. I don't know the reasons why, but I do know this, that one of the things that happened after that effect was paying attention. You didn't let your... You squeeze it as tight as you could, because this meant what? Life or death? And that's why he uses this wording here. He's communicating something very important. And he says, Christian, listen to the things that you have learned and received. Learned, manthano. All of these, by the way, are in the aorist active indicative. It has the idea of something that happened in the past. Something that happened in the past, like teaching and training. But it still has some effects today in the present. How many of you remember sitting in your first grade class? Anybody? Okay, there's a lot of people that don't remember a lot here. How many of you remember sitting in a ninth grade class? Maybe that's closer memory. All right. How many of you remember school at all? Some of you didn't raise your hand for any of those things. Woo! Goodness. I don't remember a lot about K-5. Right? I remember the snack time when they brought in the little crackers, and we had milk back in those days. We had milk and crackers and stuff, and I remember the smell of them. Anybody remember the smell, Bill? Whenever that bag opened up and it had all those Nabisco crackers, or sometimes they had the lemon filled cookies and stuff like that. I mean, I thought, whoo, this is it. This is great. This is what school's all about. And they stopped doing it in first grade. No snack. It was all day long. I depended on mom after that. But I remember that in K-5. In first grade, I remember how terrified I was going into first grade. This was real school. All right? This was manthano time. I was going to be taught something. I was going to learn something. I had the sweetest teacher in the world, Alice Ann Smith. Boy, she was a blessing in my life. And that was before my second grade year, which was my turning point, where I thought I was going to die because of my misbehavior. But in first grade, I was an angel. And I had an angel for a teacher, and I didn't want to disappoint her. I didn't want to break her heart. And second grade year, it was just me being stubborn, made up for all the bad things I didn't do in first grade. I did them all in second grade and got in all kinds of trouble. Manthano, to increase one's knowledge, to be increased in knowledge, to hear, be informed, to learn by use and practice. Ooh, you mean I have to practice what I learn? Yeah. We all know, if you don't use it, you what? You lose it. How many of you took Spanish in high school? All right. How many of you still remember all those Spanish classes? I know Manuel. I've got no frijoles, por favor. I've got that down. I use that at La Hacienda. I impress them with my knowledge. No frijoles, por favor. No beans, please. Okay. And no guacamole, por favor, because I don't like guacamole a whole lot. But beyond that, 2 years I had Juan Anderson as my teacher. And I went through that class. I conjugated all my verbs. I did everything. But right, I haven't used it a whole lot. And because of that, I don't remember a whole lot. Occasionally I'll catch a word here, whatever. And if I start reading my Spanish Bible that I have, if I start reading, words start coming back. You know? Preguntas. I saw that the other day. Questions. I remembered that. I hadn't remembered that in years. But all of a sudden, it came back to me. If you don't use it, you lose it. Manthano. Not only that, but very quickly, the last of these words here. Received is paralabete. Para means to come alongside in order to receive a message from another. The best picture I can give you are the two ships that you've always seen in these old war movies, where two ships came together and they ran the wires across to each other and they were sending packages and mail and all that kind of stuff. It means to come alongside to receive a message. Whatever you've learned, whatever you have received, whatever you heard, akouo, to hear with the purpose of understanding, and then finally seen. Seen, idete, comes from the Greek word orao, which means to see with the eyes and grasp the visual. I want to close with this. Whenever we were about to leave in college to go home for Christmas vacation, they made us go into the auditorium at Bob Jones University, and we had to watch the Ohio State Patrol video. And it was all the horrible wrecks and stuff that had happened in the state of Ohio. They put it on film footage, and they made you watch that before you drove home for Christmas. And I remember the first time I went in there, I got to watch this film, so forth like that. And all of a sudden, they started this eerie music, and my eyes went. And they were showing dead bodies, burned bodies. A man picking a brain up and putting it back onto the thing. I mean, that's the kind of video, and it was 45 minutes long. I was so scared, I asked Dad if I could get a flight home. It was scary. All those people that died, and it was made in the 50s. I didn't even know some of the makes and models of the vehicles, but I want to tell you something. I was scared to death, and I drove with my eyes open. I was looking everywhere. Where's that guy that's going to come and run over me, It was a different thing. Why? We got serious. The visual was planted in my brain. These four words produce something. What is it, the last phrase? And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. That's how he ends his message to Syntyche, okay, to Clement, to the fellow laborers that were there, Euodia. He said, if you'll just follow these things of what I've shared with you, and you'll pay attention to them and start practicing them in your life, do them, the God of peace shall be with you. Peace will be restored in the church. Peace will be restored in your heart and life. Peace will be restored between Euodia and Syntyche. There's a lot packed in this passage of Scripture, is there not? And I'm just going to say this, it's not easy. But it will produce wonderful, wonderful results if you'll check your heart and check your mind against the Word of God and approve those things which are morally excellent. It will change how you deal with other people, how you live with other people, how you interact with other people, and how you enjoy that word peace. Well, it's only got a few letters, but it's got a powerful message. It's peace that comes from God that passeth all understanding. You can have that if you want it, but you're going to have to go down God's pathway to receive it. Father in heaven, I thank you for the truth that's been shared in your word today. Lord, there's so much here. I pray that you would teach us that we've got to check our minds and our hearts against the Word of God on a consistent daily basis and then practice those things throughout the day. The only way we're going to get better at it is by practicing. The old saying, perfect practice makes perfect, is a good one to keep in mind. I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and lives today. Maybe there's someone here today that's struggling with this matter of peace. Maybe they're not saved and that's why they're struggling. Lord, I pray that they would turn to Thee before it's too late and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. But this letter was written to Christians, people that were not functioning properly with each other, and they lacked the peace that you want to give to your children and the measure of peace that you want to give to your children. They were lacking in that. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize that there are some things that need to be done in our daily lives that will reflect a desire to want the peace that you give to your children. Help us to desire it, but to practice the things that are necessary in order to receive it. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.